Revelation and turn to the left, and you'll be at the book of Jude. The book of Jude is the last of our church age. This morning, I'd like to talk with you twofold about this sermon. The sermon is about our nation. This sermon is also about individuals and churches. The Holy Spirit will guide you and will be speaking to you. I tell you, our churches has come a long ways from what God intended for them to be. And I feel like our nation has come a long way from where it first started. If anybody would like to come and pray for our nation, the altar is open for your family, your loved ones, before we ever start. There's people on the battlefield that's fighting for our freedom here this day. A lot of you is older and some younger than me. I tell you, we have freedom today. I've watched the freedom disappear in my lifetime, and how our nation have left the Word of God. God's willing to bring us back. It has affected our nation. It's affected our family. Affected our loved ones because we have left the Word of God. How precious it is. Only if we could get back. God has never changed. He's willing to receive us. Our country. I know it's sad to see that our country is being destroyed. But what are we doing about it? And what is the real cause this day? Jude, in this little book, is the end of the church age. The things that Jude is describing for us is the things that must come to pass before Jesus Christ comes back. And how that we can see them unfolding before our eyes. But we shall know what's happening because it's in the Word of God. So we thank you this hour, Jesus. All these blessings for our great country. Amen. Clip this from Billy Graham's internet page. And what Billy Graham had to say about this election that we're going into. And here's what Billy Graham said. The legacy we leave behind for our children and our grandchildren. And this great nation is critical and crucial. As I approach my 94th birthday, I realize this election could be my last. I believe it is vital important that we should cast our ballot for candidates who base their decision on biblical principles and support the nation of Israel. I urge you to vote for these who protect the sanctity of life and support the biblical definition of marriage between man and woman. Amen. Vote for biblical values November 6th and pray with me that America will return to one nation under God. As I said, I want to preach this twofold message, and I know that the Holy Spirit will lead you, nation, and also to our church and individuals. And it should really break your heart as it did mine into tears because of look the shape that we're in and the cause. Thank you for this church. I know that we live in a closed society and we really don't know what's happening unless you watch television around the world. Everybody not living in the condition that we're living here. Everybody don't have the good school system that we have in Pierce County. Thank you for Christian teachers. At the best it is, our public school system is an ungodly school system. At the best. Wednesday night, we had nearly 90 people here Wednesday night, and I preached on the first part of Jude. Acts is the beginning of the church age. Jude is the end of the church age. And we're looking at this hour and seeing the fabric of our society is unraveling before our eyes. Many of us can remember the United States and the spiritual roots that we have had in this country for over 200 years. But the title of my message, The Real Battle, and it's The Faith, and if you're here Wednesday night, the Faith means the Bible. It's an oracle of our foundation, is the Bible, the faith. Jude answers the old psalmist. In Psalm 11 and 3, it says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And he's going to answer that question because the foundation of our country is being destroyed. The foundation of families are being destroyed. The foundation of churches is being destroyed. And we must get back to the foundation. And what is the foundation? The Word of God. Billy Graham says, the Bible says. The danger in our nation, it's not just a division between Democrats and Republicans. As we see, we have a great division between going into a social country, or you believe it or not, it's all going to be panned out at the votes. Or are we going to remain as a capital country as we have known it for the past 200 years? Well, the government takes control of everything. And if the government can give you everything, it can take everything away from you. It will be at the ballot box this year of which direction this country is going to go in. Very, very, very serious. Destroyed nations, destroyed colleges, university, denomination, churches, family. And what is all this caused? It's called apostasy. And that's what the book of Jude is wrote on. One chapter. Very, very, very important. And it's talking about the real faith. Verses 1 through 7. I back up a little bit because 1 through 4 was Wednesday night. But 1 through 7, talking about the faith, the Bible. And there's a battle, whether you understand it or not. There's a battle for the Bible in the country we live in. Because if they can destroy this, is the foundation. The psalmist said, if the foundation be destroyed, what are you going to have? And that's exactly what's happened in our country as a nation, colleges, universities, churches, families, and individuals. The foundation, the Bible, is being destroyed. Amen. Jude chapter 1, Jude the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called, that means Christians, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, that about how to be saved, it was needful me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, that's the Bible, which was once delivered unto the saints. For they are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, call you back, let you know, though ye were once, that you once knew this, that is our country also, how that the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved in the everlasting change under the darkness unto the judgment of that great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example for us, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire, destination in hell. And let us pray. Father Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, for bringing this sermon to my attention and laying it upon my heart. Father, we know that all sermons, all scriptures, Lord, is for us. But, Father, some seems to me that they are more fitted for the time. And, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day, for allowing me, O God, to gather, Lord, that wisdom from you, O God, and put it together, Lord, in words that we need to hear what's happening to our country, our land, and every area of our life this day. And we thank you and praise you. We just pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will work in our hearts today, that people will grasp and understand the seriousness that we are living in, the day that we are living, and what really is happening to us today. And God, we want to thank you and praise you for everything that you're going to do in the future and what you have done this day for us. And these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, that once Lord and Savior, amen and amen. Now we come to the word in this chapter, this book called Apostates. Well, I remember whenever I was young, I used to like to go to the movies and they'd have Tarzan. Now, I don't know about you younger bunch like old Tarzan or not, but I liked old Tarzan. And old Tarzan, he was my hero, and he'd swing through the jungle on the vines, and he'd drop out in one of those rivers or one of those streams, one of those lakes, and he would go to swimming. And about that time, a 40-foot crocodile would be on the shore over there, blinking his eyes a couple of times to see an old Tarzan swim, and he'd slide into the water and never make a riffle. Somehow or another, old Tarzan was always able to outswim him and get to the other side. Thank him for that. But they would slide into the water and not even make a riffle. I want to tell you what's happening in our country. It's not just the Democrats. It's not just the Republicans. For years and years, it's been apostates turning away from the faith. And they slide in without even making a riffle. And they in every area of our society, and they are destroying the foundation, the fabric that this country and our lives was founded on, and we must see what's happening. It says, verse 4, they are certain men who crept in unaware. Crocodiles, not making a riffle. Apostate means spiritual crocodiles that slipped in. There's a forewarning for us to be forearmed about this. People are not taking it serious what's happening. They are a battle for the Bible. There's a fight for the faith. There's a fight to the finish. And there's no neutral ground for you to stand on, either saved nor lost. It is a battle. Apostates, they have received the light. They have not received the life. They are lost. They're not backsliders. They have never come and accepted Jesus Christ. They have the light. They profess they are Christians, but they are not. They are not saved. And I say they in every fabric of our society. They've been here many, many years, and it's growing. And what they're doing is termites undermining the very foundation of everything that you and I love and stand for as a nation, as a family, as a church, as an individual, and everything today. Think about this spiritual apostasy. Now, they have no roots. They cannot produce no fruit. No fruit, and I'm going to tell you, absent from spiritual fruit, I'm going to tell you, is evidence of apostate. That's evidence that somebody has never, ever, ever been saved. They are no fruits. And we'll get into that a little bit deeper. Apostates know the truth, but they do not apply the truth. They do not apply the truth to their life or to their society. They are a lot of people today that knows the plan of salvation, but they do not know the man of salvation. They some people, you cannot tell them anything about salvation. They know it, but yet they have not applied these truths to their life, and they are apostates. They have never been saved. If you've ever been saved, you cannot be apostate. You will never, ever fall away if you are saved. These people have come up to the light, but they have not received the life from Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ made this an example in the parable there of Luke chapter 8, the sower of the seed. It says, some fell there on rocky ground. I'll read this, Luke 8 and verse 13. It says, the seed was sowed on rocky ground. And you see, it says, they heard the word, they received the word with joy and have no roots, which was for a while believed. And in time of temptation, they fell away. Well, they may have come. They may have been baptized. They may have come down, walked down this aisle, but you see, they fell away. Now, everybody that falls away don't mean they're apostates. They could be backsliders. But these people that he's talking about, that God knows their heart, they come for a while. You know that people say, well, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But after a while, they fall away. You don't see them no more. They've had it, you know. They are not saved. They just come up to the knowledge of the truth of God. They know the truth of God, but they have not applied the truth of God to their life. We find this also in Mark chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, and these are they which are sowed on good ground, such as having the word and received it, now bring forth fruit, and 34th fruit, some 60 and some 100. Now they bring forth fruit if they are saved. Now Jude is sounding alarm clock today. Alarm clock, he is waving a red lantern before our face across our nation. He is warning us today, alarm clock in our face, that apostates in these last days. Nation, churches, family, souls. It says, you contend for the faith earnestly. That means agonize for what God is doing for you. Agonize for the faith that God has given us. Jude, he says, learn this, that we're going to see this happen before the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are seeing this today. This ought to tell you that Jesus Christ is close, because these things that you see today has to come to pass. They're happening today. It says there in verse 4 again, as we think about this, certain men crept in unaware, who were before ordained for this condemnation. Ungodly men, that we see this. Men that crept in. As I said, these Tarzan effect. They crept in. They slip in the back door. They are sheep's clothing. They slip in across the border like we have in Mexico. Some clever lawyer arguing the case, he just slips in a word knowing he'd come back to it later. The devil transformed himself into the angel of life. Know this, because Jude says, you need to know what's happening today. And it's not about the Democrats, I said, and it's not about the Republicans. It's something that goes way deeper than our party system in our country. It goes back to the very foundation and to the word of God in this country, what we was founded on. The danger of apostate. They destroy the nations and nomination, churches, family, souls. Listen, I told you Wednesday night about the colleges in the United States. 100 of the colleges and universities was founded in the United States. 88 of those colleges, the first 100, was founded on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Princeton, Harvard, and Yale, founded of the glory of God, because they needed schools in that day to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ and to glorify God. The president of Yale University in 1814 said, he said, Jesus Christ is the only true and living way to access of God. The president of Princeton University, he said this. And then we know that Harvard had three rules at that time. One, to know Jesus Christ and to be saved. One, that God is the only one that gives wisdom. And the third thing, to read your Bible daily. And that was to the students of the university of the great colleges today. God's aim is for these schools to clarify Jesus Christ and to glorify Jesus Christ. In Harvard in 1700, 52% of the graduation class of the Princeton, guess what? a come to know Jesus Christ. Besides that, they was ministers of the gospel. 52% become ministers of the gospel because the word of God was taught just like it was in the school system. And a lot of us, whenever we went to school, the Bible's on the desk of about every teacher. They read us Bible stories whenever I was in the primary school. I mean, they read Bible stories, and everybody had the Ten Commandments. They have a prayer over the loudspeaker whenever I was going to school. And now you say, take all this stuff down. Why? Because it might hurt somebody. It is. It's hurting everybody in our country. Not just somebody, it says, but it's hurting everybody. Schools today, thank the Lord again that we got Bible believing teachers in our school system today. But I want to thank you now about all those that pushes the gospel as much as they can. Thank you, Lord, today. And I'll tell you what, I apologize if I ever say anything against any teacher as loves of Jesus Christ. But these denominations, these faith denominations, the United States has lived, you and I, most of us have lived in the blessings of these godly school system that we was brought up in for years and years in this country. This is the reason we have these blessings today. This nation of ours, one nation under God because of the foundation that God give us, and that is the word of God today. Today we see and feel, you know, and know the results of these apostates is what happened in our country. I want you to learn this today. Learn the description of the apostates. To start with, you know, what I told you, you need to understand the danger of apostate. But we need to learn the description of the apostate, what they look like. They everywhere that we go. In 2 Thessalonians, listen to what it says. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. That's the day of Jesus Christ, except there will come a falling away first. We're seeing it now, that man of sin revealed is the son of perdition. That is the Antichrist coming. He will not come until we see what's happening this day. That means the stage is set of the apostasy that's coming across the world, and especially we can see it more so in our country, that apostasy is here. It says it will not come until we see this great falling away of apostasy across our land and every fabric of life. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, it is here today. We see what's happening, and we know the time is running near because God said it is this day. Listen to what he says. Jude 4 again. There are certain men that crept in unaware. Now, they are ungodly men. These ungodly men turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. What did it say? He foretold us that to be ready because he said it is happening. Now, I want you to know the description of these apostasies, and I want you to know, listen, their character. They have no reverence to start with. Their character, they have no reverence. He says ungodly. Ungodly men having a form of godliness. The character, they have no reverence for God. Without reverence, no respect. Their ingredients of their life, you know what? Is something's missing. And you know what it is? They do not fear God. We're living in a country and a society today that don't fear man and they don't fear God. They're living like they want to. They don't fear the law in this land. They don't fear anybody. They don't fear God. These apostates, they have no fear of God. Their character, no reverence for God, no reverence for the things of God. But next thing I want you to see, their conduct. Character leads to conduct. Their character, as we see, turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Now, what it says there, this conduct with no restraint is what he's talking about. No restraint today. The reason people wants the Bible out, reason they have fought so hard in this country to take the Ten Commandments down, reason they fought so hard and have no prayer in school, reason they fighting so hard against the Word of God that I hold in my hand today, because they do not want no restraint in their life. Because this right here is the absolutes. It don't matter whether you like it or you don't like it. It's never going to change for this generation or the next generation. Thus saith the Bible, God says. This is the absolute, and people do not want the absolute. They say, this is just an old book. How do you know it's telling the truth? Buddy, it'll cut you. It'll cut you. Just read about it. God is not going to change it. People want to live. And I'm going to tell you, and a lot of people, even comes down to Christians today, they don't want to go to what God says about the Bible, because the Bible will restrain your life and you can't live the way that you want to. You got to live the way God says you ought to, or they will be, you know, the Holy Spirit of God coming upon you. It is the restraints of human nature today. The only restraint we have is the Word of God and the Spirit of God for our homes, our own self today, for our school, for our nation, for our government, is the Word of God. Not Republicans, not Democrats. They're not going to restrain people. They can't pass enough of laws. They can't build enough of prisons and jails today. Why? Because they have done away with a foundation that keeps people out of jail. They have done away with a foundation that keeps people out of prison. They've done away with a foundation that caused people to walk the streets and pull out guns and kill people. It is the founder of the Word of God. God says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not murder. And they want to do away with this. The restrained, they have no reverence of God and the holy things of God. Their conduct, lasciviousness, it says, their conduct in the school system we have today. Take the Bible out and bring police officers in, and they think that's going to solve the issue. But I'm going to tell you, if we don't get back to the Word of God, we hadn't seen anything yet. It's more going to come. And it's going to come with a bigger ball, because you see, when you take the Word of God out and the Bible out, there's a vacuum. Something's going to fill that vacuum. You know what's filled that vacuum now? Anti-God has filled it. Apostasy has filled it. But they are so clever. And I said, they slip in like a gator or a crocodile and never make a move. I'm going to tell you, we got them across our nation. We got them in pulpits at Baptist churches across our nation this day that I'm talking about right now. They know the Word of God, but they're not going to preach the Word of God. I'll get into that in just a minute. Take the Bible out of our nation. No absolutes. You see, a disgrace to grace is what it is today. Titus chapter 2, 11 and 12 and on. For the grace of God have brought salvation and appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteous, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord, of our great God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Practical to you. Get down to the practical part of it now. A lot of people, listen, a lot of people, they will make a list of how they want to live and how they want to behave. And they'll carry this list across America to churches across America. And I tell you, they will find a church that will fulfill that list of how they want to live. Supply and demand. They will find it. They will find churches that will ordain homosexuals. And one of the large denominations, how people can stand that nomination, I don't know. But they'll find churches will ordain homosexuals, and they will accept their lifestyle. We are to love homosexuals, love, but not love their sins. We're not against homosexuals. All sin, God loves all sinners just as much as you do, you and I here this day. But we do not accept their lifestyle. It is against the teaching of the Word of God. But you will find churches that will accept them and ordain them. Make your list of what you think and how you want to live, and you will find a church that way. But not only that, you see, even in abortion, you'll find churches that will not talk against abortion. And also social drinking, they will even vote for it, and they'll have social drinking. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people will find that. And also, they will not condemn pre-married people living together. They will not condemn it. I'm telling you what, you can find a church that believes most anything. Make your list. Make your list, because I'm going to tell you, some people will not listen to the Word of God. They will leave and not listen to the Word of God. But the Word of God will not change in their apostasy that's coming in every day. The grace of God into lasciviousness. The character that determines our conduct. No reverence, no restraint. And then the third thing we have is their creed. They deny the only Lord God. The only Lord God. The only Lord God, the sovereign control of everything, they deny Him. You know what it says in John chapter 4? Ye believe in God, you also believe in me. You see, that separates all the religions of the world. All the religion of the world believes in a God. They say, well, Jehovah's Witness believes there's a God. Aren't they saved? Well, Jesus Christ said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Do they believe in Jesus Christ? No, where did that leave them? The Mormons believe there's a God. Are they saved? No. Why? They don't believe in Jesus Christ. Islamic faith, they believe in Allah God. They believe a God, a supernatural God. Are they saved? No. Why? They don't believe in Jesus. You believe in God, it says those believe in the only God. Their only God is Jesus Christ, the only God. Think what it's doing for us today. Believe in God. There is no other salvation except in Jesus Christ. All false religions have their God, but they leave Jesus Christ out. Apostasy is denying Him with their lip service and their life service. Their creed, they have no regulations, but they infiltrate every area of our life. So you need to learn about the dangers of the apostate. You need to learn about the deception of them. But also the most important thing to understand, the destruction of these apostates. Learn the destructions. Because a lot of things, there's destruction because a lot of people think they're saved. But when you get through reading the book of Jude, you cannot lose your salvation. But you read the book of Jude, you better get a good hold and know what you're talking about, know who you believe in, because he's going to shake everything that can be shaken in the book of Jude. Now, as I said this, to understand this third thing, learn about the destruction of these apostates. Verse 5, it says, I will therefore put in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them, what for? That believed not. That believed not. Star said, I want to call this to your remembrance. I want to give you something you already knew. I want to remind you. Do you see this table before me this hour? What does that word say? Remember. You know why? Because we forget. I'm going to tell you, and Jude says, I'm going to tell you again and again and again. How long are you going to stay on this, preacher, until you get it? The Lord says, remember. That's the reason we do this three times every third month. We do this. You need to be here. If no other time, you want to be here to remember what Jesus Christ done for you on Calvary's cross. To remember, he says, I want to bring something to your mind and thing I want you to remember about these examples, what God done to these three groups of people. He's going to do the same thing to these apostates, those that wants to play church, those that just think they're saved. Those, ask somebody to say, yeah, I've been saved. Well, I'll tell you one thing, whenever Jude gets through with you, you know where you're saved or you're lost if you'll just pay attention to what old brother Jude had to say, because he gives us an example for those that said they were saved, but they was lost, and it was Israel that came out of Egypt. Everybody that come out of Egypt was not saved. All the Jews that come out of Egypt was not saved. Listen to what God says in His Word now. All of them did not believe. All of them did not believe. And also the angels about their position. Now they claimed they had this possession. That's for the Israelites. But you see, some of them went to hell. The dirt opened up and swallowed them up. But not only that, he destroyed them in spite of their position. What position? Position they might have had, you have, I have, might have today. What they have, the holy angels in heaven lived in heaven with God. And they went down to hell. Why? How much a higher position could you have and be a holy angel in heaven? And yet some of those are in hell today, changing outer darkness, and the rest of them will be in hell. So just because that you have a position in a church, because the nation of Israel had a position, don't think because you have a position that you're going to heaven today. I'm telling you what, you better know Jesus Christ. And the last thing, Sodom and Gomorrah, because you see, he rained fire and brimstone out upon them and destroyed them and judged them because they were apostates. They knew the son of Adam was still alive at that time, and they knew right from wrong. And I'm going to tell you, that fire began to rain down on Sodom and Gomorrah. That fire soon burned its way out. But I want to tell you, those people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah that was apostate, had turned from the word of God, they embraced homosexuality as this country is embracing. when the fire and brimstone began to fill, it destroyed those people, but that fire burned itself out. You can go to that place today and see where Sodom and Gomorrah was, but the fire of hell is worse than any brimstone that ever fell from heaven on those people. They're burning forever and ever and ever in a place called hell today because they was apostate, because they would not honor God, because they embraced homosexuality, because they would not stand up for it this day. And our country is in judgment of Almighty God. And I'm going to tell you, the hells, when He rains down the hells upon this earth, ain't going to be nothing upside of those people that don't believe in God and they support this homosexuality today. They're going to be burning forever and forever and forever and forever in the fire of brimstone. Ain't that kind of heavy, preacher? It might be heavy, but I'm going to tell you one thing. It is the Word of God. Whether you accept it or you're not accepted, it is the Word of God. We'll take Israel, the danger in spite of their what they possess to have. You see, destroy them. Why? Because He said they believe not. The Word of God says some of these people in the nation of Israel come out of Egypt, believe not. Maybe 2.5 million. Some of them were sincere, but not all came out of Egypt. You see, the ground opened up and swallowed some of them up. Very interested now, because they had some religious experience. Listen, some of those people went into hell. Why? They had now some religious experience. People tell me about some religious experience that they had. How much more could you have as a nation of Israel come out under the blood by the Passover? The miracle of the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud, and also the pillar of fire. The water that's turned into sweet water. The manna that rained down. But all these, they participated in these experiences, but they did not believe. All of them did not believe. Well, I had a great experience so-and-so back when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. I know I was this church, they had this. I don't care about your experience. That's not what tell you to, for your salvation. That's not where you get your salvation from. It's not where you get your assurance of your salvation from. These people, the Israelites, they had all these great experiences. And God says, they did not believe and I destroyed them. Be careful now. I'm telling you, Judah's natural born on you. Now, Judah's telling us the truth. He said they believed not, apostate. They confess that they were followers of Jesus Christ as Christians, but they did not possess it in their heart. And it's not talking about backsliders. No, you got to be somewhere before you can slide back. I'm going to tell you, everybody don't come to church for months and months and years. They're not all of them backsliders. Some of them's apostates. Some of them's apostates. They'll talk a good fight. I mean, I've talked to people, yeah, I'm a Christian, I've been saved so many years, but I don't believe in this church thing. You apostate what you are. That's what you are. You are apostate. You ain't never been saved. You've never been saved. The Bible never tells us to look back to some experience for assurance of our salvation. Don't look back for some assurance for your salvation. It may be something back there in the past that you can remember, yes, and yes, it could be, but not for the assurance of your salvation. It is right now what God says. The one that's sitting in your pew now, not something that happened to you 20 years ago, 15 years. I want to know right now, are you saved? That's what Jude is saying. There's where you get your assurance of your salvation is right now. Right now. Are you saved? It's kind of like being married. This is very important. Are you married? You say, or were you married? You say, yeah, I was married. Well, that's not the important question. Are you married? Because if you're married now, that means you were married, right? If you're married right now, that means you were married. So it's not asking you the question, were you married for some experiences of salvation? But I'm going to ask you today, are you married? That means you were married. Are you saved today? If you're saved today, yes, you have some experience. But your assurance is right now. Your assurance is right now. They came out of Egypt. They come under religious experience, but they were apostate. God destroyed them, those that believed not. They professed they was like all the rest of them, but you see, they was without this possession in their heart. Jesus Christ said, you know what? They'll come to me in this last day and say, Lord, Lord, have we done this and done that? You apostate. He said, you depart from me. You work for iniquity. I never knew you. This is what's happening. Verse 6 it says, "And the angel which kept not the first estate, but left their habitation, he have reserved an everlasting change in our darkness unto the judgment of this great day." Now there are two classes of demons. We won't have time to get into all that, but there's a class of demons. And this is angels that fail. There's a class of demons that done so wicked on this earth that God have changed them already in outer darkness. They're chained. They can't get out. They're chained. But now there's another group of demons, and they're free. Do you believe in demons around us? You believe there are demons today? Well, there's a bunch of demons today. I'm going to say this group is here to torment us. This group here is out to do the devil's work. He is a great demon himself. But we have demons here. They're not ordinary demons, but you see, they're not chained. They're ready to do their work. Destroyed in spite of their possession, but also destroyed in spite of their privileges. Now listen to this. Destroyed in spite of their privileges. Verse 7. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities around about them in like manner gave themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh," that's homosexuality, "even set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of the eternal fire." Okay, destroyed in spite of their privileges. Homosexuality. Then it says these privileges, Sodom. Now, Sodom was a beautiful place there in Canaan at one time. This place was so beautiful. If you was going to take a vacation in that area, you'd want to go to Sodom, because it was a place of valleys, it was a place of hills, it was a place of mountains, a place of waterfalls. You remember whenever Lot began to choose, and Abraham said, "Lot, you go, oh, I want to see this beautiful, well-planned place of Solomon." It was very, very beautiful. It was a great privilege for Lot to be in that place. It was a garden spot. But I want to tell you another garden spot that God is showing us this hour, and I believe it is the privilege in the garden spot of the United States of America. I believe it's the garden spot of the United States of America. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed in spite of the privilege of the people that lived there. And I'll tell you one thing, God will destroy this country if we keep going in the direction that we're going in spite of our position that God has given us in this country that we're living in. Destroy it. As I said, at that time when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, one of Noah's sons was still alive and still preaching the word of God. And they knew, but they turned and they was apostates. The United States are like Solomon. When apostate come into a land, listen, the land cannot survive. When homosexuality comes as a lifestyle, the land cannot survive. "Unto whosoever much has been given, the same much shall be required." The United States, I'm telling you, God's requiring more out of us than what he's getting. And this land will not stand. I don't care who's in the White House. I do care, but that's not going to be the answer of it. Until we get back to the foundations. The problem in our nation, as I said, it's not the Republicans and not the Democrats, although they got problems of their own. I'm going to tell you the problem with the apostates. The people have turned away in every area of our society this day. Defense against the apostates, you need to submit to the faith. That means you need to be saved. Not only that, it says, you know what, we need to study the faith. That's the word of God. Show the faith and life that we live. Stand for the faith. Stand up and speak up again. Support the faith in our commitment. And also share the faith as a soul winner. I'm going to tell you, very, very, very much needed for us to heed what old Jude had to say. Because we are living in the day of the book of Jude. And it's coming to every one of us. Yes, we can get out of it because God says there's a fence against it. To do those six things, I'm going to tell you, get back to where we ought to be with God. But if we don't, you know exactly what God's going to do to our nation. I'm not scared of those atomic weapons they got in other countries. I'm not scared of their military, of Russia and China. But my fear is that God Almighty is the one who's going to judge our nation. And I tell you what I really do believe, and not scared of anybody. I believe our nation right now is already under the judgment of Almighty God for the things that we have allowed to happen in our country. As we come with a song of invitation, our hearts will be broken, and we pray for our country and pray for the every fabric of our bodies, what God has done for this country, and give us this great privilege. But I'm going to tell you what, if he didn't spare the nation of Israel, they said they had this, they had experiences. But boy, you better not count on your experiences. You better count on Jesus Christ. Anybody this hour, feel free to come this again. We'd like for you to come as we sing.